series on lifestyle evangelism. And tonight's message is going to be entitled Attitude Counts. Everybody say attitude counts. Praise God. Amen. Happen to know we can have a right attitude or a wrong attitude. And happen to know that God appreciates when we have the right attitude. And you know what? It'll make us more attractive. So we're going to talk about those things tonight. And really, I realize that in the series that we always have guests and people that haven't been a part of the series as we continue it. And so I want to go back to the beginning and just answer two things that we started with, and that was it doesn't hurt us to review that. Actually, it will help us, all of us, even if we've heard it every week. We started the series by answering two main questions that are worth re-answering, and that is, number one, what is lifestyle evangelism? Behind me, you can see, you know, lifestyle evangelism. Say, well, what is that? Well, we answered that, and we'll answer that again tonight. And then number two, why every believer is called to this very thing, lifestyle evangelism. Everybody say, every believer. Amen. Praise God. And so let's define lifestyle evangelism. Slide one, please. It says lifestyle evangelism is where every believer lives their Christian life as a deliberate witness for Jesus Christ and obedience to the Great Commission. So not only does that answer the first question about what lifestyle evangelism is, but it answers why every believer should be a part of this, or is called to be a part of this. Called to be a part of this. People say, I'm called to this, I'm called to that. Well, you're called to this right here, first and foremost, and that is to be obedient to the Great Commission, which is to win and disciple people to Christ. And I thank God for a church that loves that and is allowing that to shape their life. So really simply but powerfully, lifestyle evangelism is when you become a witness for Christ by the way you live your life and by the message that you share. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians, we go to this every time, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. In the Message translation, we find maybe the best example or illustrating how lifestyle evangelism should work in our lives, of what it is, how it works, as it reveals how we can live our lives to bring others to Jesus Christ. So here's what Paul said by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant. Everybody say servant. A servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. In other words, that means people that aren't like you and I. And that means all people. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So he says, a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous, moralist, loose-living, immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on that way of life. I think that's very important that we understand that. I emphasize that. He didn't take on that way of life. He kept his bearings in Christ. In other words, he didn't compromise his walk with God in trying to reach other people for Christ. Amen. But entered that world and tried to experience things from their point of view. That's very important. And he said, I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet to a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Well, you know what? To be in on it is when you actually are making a difference with other people with the gospel, both by how you live and by the message that you share and bringing other people to Christ. So in lifestyle evangelism, Jesus is seen in and through the way we live our lives. How many know that would be important? That would be very important. You could also say in lifestyle evangelism, you actually live and share the changes Jesus has made in your life with others purposefully and strategically. You learn to do it. You learn to do that. And so this is what this series in part is helping. This leads us again to where what we've been calling guiding principles. For the last, I think, 3 weeks, we've talked about what I've called guiding principles. So let's put up the next slide and we'll see in slide 2, the guiding principles. We've talked about use wisdom, seize the opportunity, be thoughtful, respectful, and kind, and have the right heart. Amen. And so what you can find is you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23 that we just read, amen, from the Message translation, you'll find these four guiding principles in them very clearly. But another great place to look and where we can see those guiding principles is in Colossians chapter 4, and I'm going to ask you to turn there and look at with me in verses 3 through 6. Now, I'm purposely reading it from the Passion Translation, so I realize that most of you are not going to have that, so we put it up and you can follow along. But notice, you're going to hear these four guiding principles in this as well. So, and please pray for me that God will open a door of opportunity for us to preach the revelation of the mystery of Christ, for whose sake I'm in prison. Pray that I would unfold and reveal fully this mystery, for that is my delightful assignment. You know, how many of we know that we need to treat what God's assigned us to do as being delightful? Okay, what He's assigned us to do, to win the disciple people of Christ. But that's not the only thing, but that's what we're focusing on. Think about what the psalmist said. This is just really simple. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, not sad, he said glad. How many of you came to church tonight glad? Praise God. How many of you came excited? Amen. How many know that would be the right attitude? How many know that's the attitude that we get something from, receive something from God? He said, pray that I would unfold and reveal fully this mystery, for that is my delightful assignment. So the things that God takes delight in and pleasure in, He appreciates us to take delight in. Brother Hagin always said it like this: whatever the word you get thrilled with is the word that will work for you. If you want to know what sometimes why the word ain't working, is because we may be just treating it as commonplace. Oh, I know that. Or we may not say it that way, but really, I've heard that 100 times. You know what? Every day of my life, I have about 20 scriptures that I meditate on, sometimes more than once during the day, that those portions of scripture. Why? Because I found value in them, and I delight myself in them, and the more they become alive and real, and I'm not just doing it just to do it, but I'm doing it and delighting myself in the Lord, amen, and understand the benefit it is for me. Listen, it's not making God love me, accept me, do a miracle, or anything else. Everything that God needs to do in our life is really already been provided through Jesus Christ by His grace. All He's waiting for us to do is know what He's given and receive it ourselves. His power has already been made available through His grace on everything that He's given. You're not, and I'm not waiting God for God to perform a miracle for us. He's waiting on us to accept what Christ has already done so that miracle can be performed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thought that was for all for free tonight. That was good, wasn't it? Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, I needed that. Praise God. Look at your other neighbor and say, delight looks good on you. Praise the Lord. Verse 5 goes on and says, walk in wisdom. See, use wisdom. Walk in the wisdom of God as you live before the unbelievers. And make it your duty to make Him known. Make Him known. Make Him known. You may share your testimony, which I talk about all the time, but it's all about really what God has done for you. It's making His power known about what He's done in your life in hopes that others can hear that God will do the same thing for them. Make Him known. Verse 6 goes on and says, let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity, for then you will be prepared to give a respectful answer to anyone who asks about your faith. Amen. Everybody say respectful. Praise God. We're going to talk about that in just one moment. So in using these guiding principles, I've been doing is sharing practical advice in lifestyle evangelism and examples that I can use from my own life and lived it out. And hopefully we all have some of those. But, you know, hopefully what we understand is how to better apply these principles in our life. And that's why, number one, we look at scripture first and foremost. And then number two, we give practical examples of how that can be lived out through testimonies that I've been sharing. You know, and I believe that's necessary that we do this. And here's why. Because most believers don't feel adequate or qualified to undertake this task. And what task am I talking about? Lifestyle evangelism, sharing your faith effectively. Wherever you go, that you just are open to be able to do that. You understand what God has called us to do and to be, and you understand how that works. But the reason why it's so important we talk about these things is because Jesus told us that. But I also realize that most of the time, feelings get in the way. Feelings of inadequacy. And making us think that, I haven't been schooled to do this. I don't qualify to undertake this task. You know, and we have all the excuses. Like, I haven't really been trained. I'm not adequately, I haven't been schooled in this. Well, the madman from Gadara, when he got set free in Mark chapter 5, hadn't been schooled in the synagogue either. But Jesus said, just go tell them what great things the Lord have done for you and have compassion on you. If you will start there, that's why I'm so big on the power of your testimony. And then combining that with the scriptures in a simple, every person needs to have it, a 1 to 3 minute testimony of how they can share with someone something that God has done for them that's changed their life, that magnifies Jesus in a way which they see and can come to know that he's real and that he wants to do the same thing in their lives. Amen. Here's another thing that why people don't feel adequate is because they say, I've never done that before. Well, guess what? You got to start somewhere. There's a lot of people that never come to church before, but you got to come sometime. There's a lot of time, you know, there's a lot of people that never read the Bible before, but you got to start sometime. Come on. So it's the same way with winning the disciple people to Christ. We need to get past these things, and this is why I'm sharing that. How about this is a big one. I'll stop with this one. The fear factor. The fear factor. The fear of the unknown and especially rejection. People are afraid of rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected. But remember, just simply, when they reject you, Jesus reminds us they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. Okay. Now, everybody say right attitude. Everybody say attitude counts. Well, it does count because how we approach things has everything to do with the possibility of our success. So I'm sharing a scripture and real life experiences to really show how it can be done, and it's not that hard. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Praise God. And listen to this, because in the back of our mind, the devil will work on us and make us feel different things. Why, you know, I'm not this person, you're not me, this, that, the other. And while not every person is at the same place in life as a believer, and not every person had the same gifts, we all have the same call to win and disciple people to Christ. So that doesn't change anything because we don't have the same giftedness. We all have the same call to win and disciple people to Christ, and we can all share the same burden and learn to proclaim the same saving message of the gospel. Praise God. And so we've covered the first two guiding principles in the prior week, which were use wisdom and seize the opportunity. I had fun doing that because I think and there's other things that we could share on both of those. But tonight we want to pick up on the third. And that is be thoughtful, respectful, and kind. So be thoughtful, respectful, and kind. Amen. Say attitude counts. Praise God. Your attitude can play a big part in making Jesus and the gospel attractive to others. And having to know that's part of what we're called to do. You know, if we are a turnoff, then we're going to turn off people to Jesus before we can even say Jesus. Come on. And so it's very important that we understand some of these principles. I'm going to look at it at a very practical way tonight from two different sides. And we'll get that in just one moment. But in that, we want to look again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 that we read prior, but I want to reemphasize this from the Passion Translation, verse 5. Walk in the wisdom as you live before the unbelievers, and make it your duty to make him known. See, that's our duty, to make him known. Not make us known, make him known. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity. For then you will be prepared to give a respectful answer to everyone who asks about your faith. Now notice, my point tonight is not, and we may do this at another time, about those that ask about your faith. Praise God. How many know when people ask about your faith, the Bible tells us we're to be prepared. And we should live in a way that whether people ask or not, we know how to open the door. And we'll talk about that in another message, how to open the door better so that people, whether they ask or not, you can present it. Amen. But notice a good point that we need to have a respectful answer. And this is a part of tonight. Notice, be thoughtful, respectful, in kind. Now, as we look at verse 6 from the King James Version, I love how it says, let your speech always be with grace. How many know the Word of God is full of grace and power? Amen. God, matter of fact, God's Word, one definition of the word grace, it defined by the Bible itself in 2 Corinthians, we find that it's defined as God's power. So grace is God's power to us. Our faith is our response to his power. Our faith can only receive what God's grace gives. And notice here, our speech needs to be gracious. That means that it needs to have a flavor to it. Notice it says, season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, I don't know about you, but I like salt. And contrary to what you have been told, you need salt. Without salt, you will die. You need salt. Now, I'm not telling you to eat the salt shaker, but don't be afraid of it. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, look at your neighbor and say, be salty. Praise God. Amen. Well, I don't know about you. I love red meat. And you may not, so that's all right. You know, don't throw a stone at me because I like a nice filet mignon, okay, with nice salt on it. There you go. With a nice coating of pink Himalayan salt over it. Praise God. That it has a little crisp to it. Amen. Just a thought, okay. Praise God. All right. So enough said of that. But you know what? What does salt usually do after you eat something like that? It makes you thirsty. Not only was it flavorful to you, it tasted better. Come on. But it also made you thirsty. Okay. And so the reason I'm sharing that, how many know that God wants us to make people thirsty for him? So this, I find this interesting. Seasoned with salt, this phrase is an idiom. In other words, it carries the idea or the meaning of, listen, friendly, clear, and making people thirsty for truth. I'm going to say it's an idiom that carries the idea or the meaning of being friendly, clear, and making people thirsty for the truth. In other words, making Jesus and the gospel attractive. making people hungry for God by bringing understanding to them. You know, I so love when people get it by when they hear the Word of God, because when you understand the Word, that's when faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that implies hearing and understanding what you hear. Remember, Matthew chapter 5 tells us that Satan comes not only to steal the Word, but he comes to steal its understanding. When we do not have understanding of the Word, he can take it from us. And this is why it's so important that the Word is, when it's preached or communicated, it's done in a way that it can be understood in practical ways. Maybe said more than one way. Maybe using other translations. Maybe using examples like Jesus did all through his ministry that people can relate to from everyday life. This is what's important, church. And you know, I loved it today because a great example of this, I was talking to a gentleman who, him and his wife are part of our church. They serve in the ministry. Wonderful couple. I'm not sure how long now they've been saved, but I would say it's been under 5 years. Am I correct? Okay, praise God. And but they're on fire for God, and they're doing this very thing. He shared with me how he had a fellow serviceman that he hadn't seen in 40 years came and visited. And in that time, that the person said, something's different about you. What's different about you? I mean, it's just noticeable. You're not the same person you were. Thank God. Amen. And his wife said, amen. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. Okay, so amen. My wife would have said amen too, and I would have been the first one to say amen about myself. Amen. He said, Pastor Chris, I shared with him the gospel, okay? And he says, he came to Christ. He came to Christ. And he says that the wonderful thing about this was his wife was so excited because she had been praying about this. But in sharing what he shared with him, here's what the comment that I thought was so interesting. He said, these things that you shared answered my question, and now I understand things I didn't understand before. Understanding causes people to faith to come to them, so they're hungry, amen, and thirsty, and can make the connection. You're helping them to connect the dots. I applaud that. I think we should put our hand together for that testimony. Prayer is powerful. And see, that does something to us. Not just to the person, but it does something to us, because you cannot help but to be to feel and experience the presence of God, but and when you're doing the will of God like that. It's wonderful. It's addictive. It's a high like no other high. Amen. Praise God. And so think about this, making people hunger for God by bringing them understanding. Amen. So friendliness, smiles, and love are all part of a universal language that needs no interpretation because they can't speak your language. Come on. I'm going to say it again. Friendliness, smiles, and love are a universal language that everyone understands, and it can open a door for others to see Christ in us. And that's what's important. Amen. So let's start on this part where we're talking about be thoughtful, respectful, and kind. And I just want to focus on, even though, you know, some of the things I'll be talking about include both respectful and kind, I want us to talk about this and with the thought of being thoughtful. You know, if we're going to, if an attitude does count, but if we're going to be better at reaching people, this guiding principle of being, once again, thoughtful and being respectful and kind. Being thoughtful means this, that you can't always be thinking of yourself. You just can't. And you know what? That may be one of our greatest challenges, because, I mean, a part of your life is thinking about you, what you got to do, the things you know you're busy to do. How many, I'm telling on myself right now, how many of them said, I'm going in Walmart and I'm going to see how quick I can get in and out of there? You know what I'm saying? Because you got other things that need to be done. Come on. But the truth is, if we're gonna be good at this, we can't always just be thinking of ourselves and our needs and what we got to do. We can't be so busy that we don't recognize the opportunities. I thank God that Pastor Debbie is really good at this. Because I'm just telling on myself, I'm being really, and it's not that I'm always just thinking about me. This is on my mind, but I'm also thinking about, I move from one thing to another. And I don't know, and it's not always for your good. And what I mean by that is, I'm always thinking three steps ahead. I've done this and I've got to do these two other things and or three, whatever. And so I'm trying to, you know, your to-do list, you're getting it done. And you can be so busy. But sometimes we talk about, all right, we got to go here. And I said, but I don't know if I want to go there because this is, you know. And she says, stop it, love. This is going to be our opportunity. I said, right. Or we'll go to a place where we like to go. I'm not going to tell you where it is because you can't go there. Praise the Lord. That we like to just sit and look at the sunset and just be by ourselves. And it's on the water and it's a place that we can go and just be by ourselves. And I said, you know what? I hope that nobody else is there. And she says, love. That's selfish. This will be our opportunity. And over and over again, it is our opportunity. It's our opportunity. And Susan, I said, you're right. I said, you're right, love. And so I share these things because you got to understand that we all are growing. We need one another. You need to hear these things because I'm just as real as you are. And so... You have to be thoughtful, and that means that you can't be too busy, and you have to understand all opportunities aren't convenient. And this is why the scripture says, you can write it down in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. In other words, the Amplified says, when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And you know us, you know people, we like convenience. Microwave this, drive through this. Come on. We just do. Okay. You get the idea. So we have to, what we have to do in being thoughtful is thinking of being aware of others that are around us. We need to be self-aware, but we need to also be, that's another topic, but we need to be aware. In other words, what do you mean you need to be self-aware? You need to be aware that your attitude counts. Now, some people just live life, they're never self-aware. They never understand. They talk too much. They talk out of place. They're distracting. They all this kind of stuff. They're not self-aware. Listen, I'm saying that because I love you. Because attitude does count. And if we're not self-aware, then a lot of times you wonder why it's like if you turn magnets opposite, you know, the same polar, what do? They just go whoop like this. They don't attract, they repel. And you wonder why everybody's running away from you like you got a bee following you or something. You know what I'm saying? Okay, just a thought. That was all free. And so, but We need to be aware of others around us and reaching them for Christ. Thoughtful or mindful of others' spiritual conditions and needs for Christ. And that's pretty obvious in the day that we live in. I mean, you can see it, you can hear it. And you know, this part about thoughtful and mindful of other spiritual conditions and need for Christ is no better illustrated than what we've read tonight already from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. This is exactly how Paul lived his life. So I think we get that we can't be so caught up in ourselves in our agenda that we're not mindful of the people that are around us and the needs that are around us. If we're going to be better soul winners and better at reaching people to Christ, we do need to be mindful about the people around us in their condition, their needs, and how that we could possibly make a difference. There's not a lack of need. And so I wanted to say this, maybe this is a good point. Jesus didn't meet every need. He followed the Holy Spirit. There was instances where there was a whole group of people that were sick, yet he only ministered to one. Now, they all could have touched him and be healed, but it would take the touch of faith, but the Holy Spirit sent him to one. So it is so important that you understand that you just can't just always just be driven or moved by need, because it's always, Jesus, you're going to have the poor with you always. But what do you do with Jesus? You hide his word in your heart, and then you follow the Spirit of God. And when opportunities present themselves, or you learn to open those doors yourself, then you step in them. Now, that's one side of it. But here's another side of being thoughtful that you may not have thought of, and it's very practical, but I want to share that with you tonight. When you're sharing your faith with people in places of employment, I'm very mindful when I share with people at places of employment that they're at work. At work. And I understand that all bosses are, you know, and I'm in the line at Walmart, if there ain't nobody behind us, Pastor Debbie and I engage people all the time, especially young people, with Jesus. But if there's a line, not because I'm very, they're trying to get you checked in and checked out. I'm not like trying to hold up the line and be annoying. You know what I'm saying? So I'm mindful of those things. Let me give you a couple of practical examples of that. You heard me tell the story 2 weeks ago in closing about a young man at a place of employment that I was at a golf course, and I was getting ready to play golf, and I only had a certain period of time that I could do that, and I was rushing like I normally do different stuff, and you know, in the Spirit of God told me, go witness to him, go share your faith with that guy. And you heard me say, I argued with the Lord, you know, briefly before, and I knew I had to obey God, but I had all the reasons why I couldn't do this. You know, Lord, you're gonna mess up my you're messing things up right now. Okay, I explained that, but I knew it was the Lord, so I just stopped and I went right over to the young man. In less than 10 minutes, that young man came to Christ. Now, let me tell you one reason why I was hesitant was because I knew that young man's boss in the place of employment. If that young man wasn't doing his job, I could hear his boss see him talking to me. What are you talking about? What were you talking to him about for 10 minutes? I needed you to do this and do that and do the other. Now, all their bosses like that, that, you know, sure they are. That's why I was concerned about that young. But you know what? Here's what I also learned too. If the Holy Ghost tells you to do something, it's the Holy Spirit. He's got it worked out, so boss ain't going to be around for those 8 or 10 minutes. Now, I'm not there to preach a message for 30 minutes and say, pull up your stool right here and listen to me, son. I'm not there to do that. But I'm there. I simply shared my testimony. You heard the story 2 weeks ago. I actually engaged and asked him a couple questions, and then found out he did go to church. But when I shared my testimony and presented the gospel to him, he said, "I've never heard that." I've never heard the gospel the way that you just said it there, and my need for Christ. I said, would you like to ask him into your heart? And he did. I was very conscious of his boss not liking him taking time with someone, and even though he didn't know what it was doing. Now, if he found out what he was doing, he would probably like it worse. Okay, because I know the boss. But how many know that God loves that person too? Hey, the boss. And I've had conversation with the boss, and the boss told me basically to go the other way. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. But that's all right. And let me give you another example of this in closing tonight. Praise God. My time is gone. Pastor Debbie and I, a few years ago, were on vacation. Because we were eating late that night, was in a resort area, because we eaten a little bit later that night. Not late, but later. All the restaurants that we wanted at, the wait was like over an hour, and I wouldn't go wait. That's just the way it was. Hungry. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, he was hungry. Amen. I never forget one time I was at a restaurant, and I walked in, I'm telling myself, ain't I? Praise God. And Pastor Debbie and I, we were believing to get in this restaurant, so we did. We walked in, and it was on a resort area, they said just two. They said, well, it's probably going to be about 20 minutes. And I'm like, 20 minutes? I didn't say this out loud. I'm thinking, 20 minutes? Ain't nobody in line. And I know there's a seat for two somewhere. Okay. And so I'm standing there, and Pastor Debbie, you know, being Pastor Debbie, she would just say, love, it's all right, love. We can wait. Well, the waiter, now I'm telling myself, and I'm ashamed to say it, but the waiter, the waitress in the bar area came around and says, we could, if you don't mind eating in the bar area, which was not really, because we don't like to eat in the bar area. That's just, but it, in this restaurant, it was where they were going to seat us was just, it was perfect. And it really wasn't even like, and she says, if you don't mind eating over here, well, I'll take you and I'll wait on you right over here. I mean, just like that. And when we sit down, she said, I did that because I see you kind of hangry. Pray. Oh, Lord. Don't get hangry, Pastor Chris. So, we went to this restaurant. I'm close with this story. Went to this restaurant that we thought we could get in, and we did. And so, thank God we did. And we got seated right away and everything. And the waiter, the young man that waited on us, was very impressive. But we had been there before and seen him. And he was a young man, only about 18, and he was from a different country. But he was very attentive, and man, he was just doing his job. It ends up that he waited on us. Amen. And I'm going to have to condense this, but basically, you know, he had such a great work ethic and attention to detail. When he's waiting on us, he came to our table numbers of times, and I just had to compliment him. I said, you know what, this is not a first time in here, but I've noticed this. Tonight, you're waiting. And I said, we've been here before, and you won't. He says, well, I said, how long you've worked here? So I asked questions. How long you were here? He told us. And I said, so he says, yeah, I've worked. I've done this. I've done that. They've worked me up, and I'm now waiting tables. I said, good for you. I said, well, man, you're just doing a great job. So he did all that. He came back, and we asked him what country he was from and how he got there and different ways. And actually, he brought up, it would have made it easy for me to open the door and just sit, find out what his religious background was. His family went to church and so on and so forth. But in conversation, when you pinpoint questions, you find, here's the thing that a lot of times people say, oh yeah, I know Jesus, I've been water baptized. How many know being water baptized don't make you saved no more than driving your car or walking in your garage makes you a car? Now, water baptism is right. It's part of you following Christ after you're saved, but it can't save you. So don't send me a dirty email on that one. But it doesn't save you. And so, you know, so when people say that to me, I don't stop right there if I have the opportunity. And come to find out, long story short, he wasn't born again. His family had religious background and so on and so forth, but he wasn't born again. And we were, you know, we every time we come to the table, we get a little further. And I was like very conscious the whole time. Why are you saying this? Because I'm very conscious of the whole time. It was getting later. I know they were getting ready to close within 20 minutes. They were going to close the restaurant. They want to clean up. They want to get out of there. And he would stay. I've asked him certain part of questions, and he'd go get it and come back and then and stop. So I'm mindful of those things. I don't want to get this young man in trouble because he's doing a great job. And we found out this, he wanted to be, he's 18, he wants to make money, and he's working hard, and he wants to go to dentist school. So he's got a great thought and plan that he wants to do, but he ain't got Jesus. And so we simply shared, and actually we got to a place, here's the point, we got to a place where we said, look, you're at a table a lot. You got other tables to do, and y'all getting ready to close. I don't want to get you in trouble. I just told him. I said, I don't want to get you in trouble. He says, oh, no, it's all right. It's all right. You're my last table, and I can do everything I need to do, and my boss is not going to mind me talking to you. I said, that's it right there. So he sat down at the table with us. I shared the gospel with him a little further and then asked him if he wanted to invite Jesus, which we knew he did. And he said yes. We prayed that prayer, and that young man was glowing from ear to ear when we left there that night. So what's your point, Pastor Chris? I was thoughtful. I was thoughtful of not only his spiritual condition, but also what his condition was with work and how I don't want to do something that jeopardized someone's job because I'm zealous for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? It's right to be zealous for the Lord, but you also have to be aware of other people and what it could cause in things like at places of employment. So, you know, one of the awesome things that happened that night before we came to Christ is he had some questions that he said nobody could answer. And a matter of fact, right now, I wish I remember where they were. This is why it is good when you lead people to Christ in different things that you go back and write things down. Because that helps you to remember. Sometimes we'll be talking and she says, you remember that person that we led to the Lord? You led to the Lord? I said, Lord, I forgot all about that. Oh, I forgot all about that. And that happens. But if you write those things out, because sometimes people ask you questions and you walk away and say, man, that needs to be shared all the time with people, because these are questions people have that trip them up. And he goes, you know, you answered my question. Nobody's ever been able to answer that question or those couple questions. And no, this makes sense now. And so he knew his need of Christ and the personal acceptance of him, and he did. Everybody say, be thoughtful. Everybody say, attitude counts. So you know what? Your attitude, if you have an attitude of gratitude, if you are, as we're going to talk about next week and pick up on and talk about respectful and kind, it makes a difference. Thank you, Bessie. It makes a big difference if respectful and kind to people's time. This is why I always say, you know, everybody needs a 1 to 3 minute testimony. Because you don't always have 30 minutes. You don't always have 15 minutes. And you know what? That you may not have have time for a 1 to 3 minute testimony. This is why it's good to have a track or something that you can hand them and say, you know, Jesus loves you. We're at a place just recently, and a place of entertainment. And the young girl that waited on us was real busy when we came in, and almost witnessed to her at the beginning, but I didn't. And leaving, we seized the opportunity. And I said, it's just simple as this. I use this one all the time. You can use it. It's free. Did anybody tell you that Jesus loves you very much? I use that all the time. And she lit up like a neon sign. She says, I needed that. Thank you so much for telling me that. And I said, so do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? She says, I do. But I needed that. I haven't been able to. I've been going to school, and I want to get this degree and that. And be honest with you, I need to get to church. And she says, but I needed to hear that. Thank you so much for telling me that. So simple things like this, being aware and thoughtful and respectful and kind. We'll pick up next week on a few other things. And then this last one, have the right heart. Have the right heart. Praise God. How many know that love is a universal language and everybody needs it? And not always, listen, everybody is looking in for love, but most of them are looking for it in the wrong places. And I'm not saying we don't need the opposite sex, because I sure enjoy Pastor Debbie and I need her in my life. Okay, so we companionship, all that's wonderful. But before we need it, listen, the only reason we're still together and she hadn't killed me is because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we love Him and we put Him first. He settles everything for us. Amen. And so the truth is, love, and the love everybody's looking for, is only really the love that God can give them. And if we're expecting to get that perfectly from everyone else, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. We should, we should be able to love others that way, and we can. But if we're waiting for everyone to do that perfectly, only Jesus can love us perfectly, powerfully, and permanently. Quote Pastor Debbie, praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight and lift our hands and just thank God for His goodness, for saving us. And in your own way tonight, ask Him to do what's in your heart right now. It may be to make you a better witness, to be more effective, to know how. With your own words, break the spirit of fear off of you. So tonight, just talk to the Lord about the things that He's been talking to you about here. Because no matter who we are, you know, when even as you talk to the Lord about this, I want you to know, even when I'm teaching this and the Lord talks to me about these things, I have to pray those things. I want to be better at that. I haven't arrived. I want to be more effective. So, Father, we thank You tonight that You are helping us, Your people. Thank You that You're helping us to be more effective in sharing the gospel. And attitude does count. Help us to be thoughtful and mindful of those that are around us and their conditions. And thank You, Lord. We pray that You would not only open affected doors, but Lord, that You would give us boldness to seize the opportunity. And we give You the praise and give You the glory for it all tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heads bowed, eyes